Regular council meeting, and with that being said, let's bow our heads for the invocation. God grant us the wisdom and the ability to realize that there are, in dispute, there are two sides to every situation, and we should listen to both of them. That we should do as we say as we do, and I humbly thank God and pray and thank Him and appreciate Him looking out for Curie Beach and all the people that live in it. Amen. Amen. And let's pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now we're going to have a public hearing to receive public comments on proposed ordinance amendment to the Code of Ordinances, Chapter 19, zoning regarding the use of alternative energy in Curie Beach. The proposed ordinance provides standards to facilitate the use of solar energy equipment in a manner that minimizes visual impact and the potential for nuisance. It includes provisions for setback, height restriction, complements, compliance supplies, definitions of roof mount and ground mount systems, provides permitting, replacement, and repair guidelines, and prohibits the use of solar systems. Solar wind systems. Notice of this hearing was posted at Town Hall March 28, 2012. It was advertised in the Island Gazette newspaper on March 28 and April 4, 2012. And I'll now open the hearing for public comment. And we have Bob Ginsberg, 805 Mississippi.
Yeah, Ginsberg. Make three things out. I don't know how many people in town have any of this stuff, but I do. You guys may know that already. So three things that I needed to address today. One is a grandfather clause. That ordinance, as I read it online, didn't give any, it didn't say as of such and such a date, you got to do all this stuff. And I don't want to make sure that 8 years from now, I don't be asked to supply us an extra permit, for example. So I think that needs to be included. And I mean, I wouldn't expect any problems with mine because I'm already existing. So, second thing is, I'm pretty familiar with a lot of stuff, but I don't have a clue what a solar wind is. You might want to look at the terminology. I think you're talking wind turbines. So, if you say solar wind, and that's not what you mean, you're not going to have what you want. So. And the last thing is, I don't remember all the details, but I talked about mounting area on the roof and everything. There's things out there that I don't have, but you can buy, for example, solar shingles these days. You can cover your entire roof with shingles that also double as solar generating. And, you know, you ought to be able to account for that. I think, as far as I understand, you can't even tell the difference between them. So it may be something that you don't want to prohibit and have two kinds of shingles on your house. And that was really my three things.
Thank you. Anybody else got anything?
And Craig Galbraith, the chairman of the Planning Commission, who brought this ordinance to the council. Just to address that, the use of solar wind systems, I think, is a misprint. That's not the terminology within the ordinance, just to correct that. So wind systems would be, of course, windmills and wind generation type of systems. We didn't address the grandfather clause in here because I think there's only about three systems right now in Curie Beach, or three or four systems. And I'm not sure if any of them would be out of conformance with this particular recommendation here. So we didn't address the grandfather clause. Again, we're dealing primarily with roof mount system. We're quite aware that there are other types of systems. In fact, as we go out over the next 10 years, you're probably going to have paint that gets sprayed on the houses that will actually be solar systems. So again, we're not addressing shingle type of systems, things that look like shingles or blinds and that sort of thing, because those really, and typical for most alternative energy ordinances, those are simply accepted. So we didn't even address that in this particular ordinance. I do have two things that I would, as we discuss this. I would recommend they're both definitional system or definitional issues. If you notice that we concentrate on the idea of 110%, so you know this whole ordinance deals with systems, solar systems that generate under 110% of the beneficiary's requirement for energy consumption. Should point out this would apply not only for residential but also commercial structures too. You know the way that it's written. The expectation and what we talked about is anything over 110% would be prohibited. Those are actually commercial type of systems. And the 110% is kind of a standard out there for ordinances. So there probably should be a statement at the end of the definition that systems that generate more than 110% of the beneficiary's requirements for energy consumption are prohibited. And again, well, I don't think we're stuck on 110%. You could make 150% or something like that. But what we're trying to do is prohibit basically solar farms that are out there by this sort of thing. Unless the council does want to have us look at solar farms, which would be generating a lot more. In fact, if you generate, I believe, 500% or 400%, it actually falls under the category of utility in the state of North Carolina. So there's a lot of issues as you start to get above this kind of personal consumption of 110%. The second recommendation, again, simply a definitional, is based upon a comment that Commissioner Hegler mentioned last time. What about mounting systems on other type of structures? The intent of this, obviously, is on the primary residential or commercial structure. And as we start to think about it, I guess you could put two posts in the ground and put a roof on those two posts and, put some on it. That would be really a ground-mounted system. So we didn't really address that. So I would also recommend that under 8, category number 8, where it says ground-mounted systems, just simply a definitional that simply say that ground-mounted systems are defined as any system not installed on the primary residential or commercial building. And I think that would take care of the issue that Commissioner Hagler mentioned last time. So I just wanted to bring up those two points and clarify a couple things that the previous speaker mentioned.
Mr. Gerbrick, in a section 4B, and I don't know if this addresses the grandfather clause or not, but I just want to understand. It says exclusion from the building permit requirement, repair and replacement of existing solar energy equipment, provided that there's no expansion of the size or coverage area of the solar energy equipment. Does that meet your concern, sir, or no? For the grandfather. So if repair or replacement of the same size is exempted in this, is that what you're concerned about, or how do you want the grandfather to be incorporated?
I don't remember all the details. The ordinance requires a specific permit for that system, right?
It says this is exclusions from building permit requirement.
I mean, at the beginning, not repair or replacement, but just in general, it says that install one of these, you have to have a permit for it. So, like I said,
you just don't want to come back, I understand.
Right.
If I can speak of this as, I believe, a legal issue, there's two issues I think that the speaker raised. One is a permitting, and generally when you have an ordinance and something is previously installed that is legal, there wouldn't be an additional permitting requirement. However, the other issue is a non-conforming issue. And the non-conforming issue is if a previously installed system does not fit into the criteria of this, in which case it would be non-conforming. And again, we didn't address a non-conforming amortization grandfather issue related to that. But, from my experience, permitting wouldn't be required if this particular ordinance was established by a previously installed system. The issue would be more of a non-conforming issue, I think, in this particular case. And I'm not sure if yours would be non-conforming in this case.
Well, I don't want anybody to even ask.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Libertarian, I appreciate that. What's the length of life if we do it? So, I can't speak for council, but I kind of agree that if I have something on my property and we change something, I like to be able to keep it that way, right?
Length of life is 20 years. Usually these things, we've done a lot of research, and usually these type of panel systems, we're talking about the active solar panels, not the passive water heating things. But the active solar panels are usually warranted for 20 years. There's a half-life type of thing that works with these sort of things. So generally the feeling is after about 20 or 25, maybe 30 years, these would have to be replaced. And clearly the technology is going to exponentially increase in the future with these sort of things.
That's all I have, sir.
Anybody else?
approval? No, the recognition of awards, we don't have any. Approval of consent agenda. So I have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Agenda is approved. Adoption of the agenda. We have two changes. Item number three, under discussion and consideration of committee business, will be the community center.
Fee change.
Fee change for community center. Item number four, there will be an introduction of the liaison to the Parks and Recreation Committee. Okay. Do I have
request to add under new business?
Okay.
Just hurricane information sessions?
Yes.
Scheduling and approval of advertising, so it's under new business, sir. It's the time of year.
There we go. Do I have anybody want to
make a motion to accept the amended agenda?
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say my saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Brent Barnwell, you're up.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Press the button.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to thank the council. You have asked that I come and give a brief presentation on the marketing committee and I guess sort of what we've been doing for the past 12 months. I asked the CBB, I told them what I was doing, and they sent me at 4 o'clock today 35 slides, and I assure you I'm not going through all of those.
It's just got to...
Just got to...
Kind of work through, yeah.
All right. First thing I want to cover, and if anybody wants a copy of this presentation or anything, I'll be more than happy to email it to you. That's the ROT distribution for the whole community, and that's not, not the community, the whole county. This is Curie Beach for the last 3 fiscal years. Promotions are what the marketing committee sort of works with. The tourism activities is what the town actually spends. I believe that's things like lifeguards and maybe the boardwalk and things like that. So that gives you an idea. And also those numbers do not include any previous year's rollover if there's any monies over and above the budget. Just to give you an idea, I know there's a lot of talk about, increase, 10% or 12%, and really want to give you an idea of what we're talking about in terms of dollars. September, we were up 10.99%. Our total revenues were 24, so that's under $2,700. And you can see October, November, in January, we were up 38, almost 39%. Our total revenues were $2,080, and that's about $800. So while we are real pleased with the fact that we are getting more and more and we're seeing positive numbers, we're not talking huge dollars and cents as some people may think. I don't know that that's all that important. I'll get into a little bit more about what we're doing with the money. What were our objectives? We hired a company called Clean Designs, Carolina Beach, Wrightsville Beach, and I believe Wilmington also are all using the same company, which is a real good a good thing because I think we get a lot more bang for our bucks. We met with them several times, went through a lot of workshops and to determine what these objectives are. We wanted to increase the shoulder season stays. We feel like during the summer, We're pretty much full, especially when you look at the major weekends. We want to increase first-time visitors, increase visitor awareness, show the value of visiting Curie, to sort of tout Curie Beach as a new experience. And also we want to focus on the first 2 weeks of June and the last 2 weeks of August to kind of expand that that major season. What were our strategies? We developed these. We wanted to convince young families to experience something new at Curie Beach, to maintain and build upon our different differentiated brand position. We are not Carolina Beach. We are not Riceville Beach. And God knows we're not Myrtle Beach. We are Curie Beach. We're trying to identify what that is. We need to buy the appropriate media mix. We want to leverage our public relations and social media just do those types of things to try to get more heads in beds. Our tactics, we spend a lot of time. We're a small town. We're relaxed. We're friendly. We're comfortable. We're a getaway destination, and it's beautiful. That's sort of the message that we're trying to get. We're a little less hectic. And I won't read all that to you, but that's just sort of an idea of what we're trying to do. We've got primary targets and then little niche markets. Mainly, I mean, we're a beach destination. People come on vacation. We have family entertainment, outdoor adventure. There's a lot of things to do, and there's some festivals and events. Then on the niche market size, we really can't afford, we don't have the budget to hit each and every one of those with a direct advertising or marketing plan, but weddings, military, fishing, through our public relations and Twitter and the social media, we're going to try to increase those markets as well. We had to determine, you know, location. How do we tell people where we are? Wilmington, whether we like it or not, people, you say, where's Curie Beach? They don't know. You say it's south of Wilmington, they go, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. We want to promote the proximity to the Triangle. I mean, within two and a half hours, you can be here. And, of course, the aquarium and Fort Fisher. Our target markets, you know, it'd be wonderful if we could target the East Coast, but we can't afford to do that. So we determined that most of our visitors are from the Triangle, Charlotte, Greensboro, Winston, and Fayetteville. We do have some from out of state, but we're going to target those areas with our advertising. And families with young children is where we feel like that most of our targets should be directed towards. As far as creative, here's some ads that that we have put out there for the shoulder seasons. Basically, our theme is power off, disconnect, relax, reconnect with your family, but you know, leave the world behind. And that's what we're trying to do. There's some more that we use this spring, all with the same type thing. How do we measure and track the campaign? You've got paid ad impressions. Every ad has a different URL, so if you're on a site and you click through, they know exactly what made you do that. Our Facebooks and Twitter interaction, public relation metrics, and then our website traffic can tell how we're doing. Next year, we're looking to spend, you know, money about 40% in print, 23% in pay per clicks, display ads, 21% radio, and then 2% promotion. So we're going to have some e-specials. Public relations, this is going to, we have a public relations firm that actually works for us. They do a lot of distribution of press releases. They do bloggers. They work with lifestyle magazines and things like that to try to get Curie Beach in the news and in front of the people that we're targeting. Social media, this is really huge right now. Facebook and Twitter, and there's something now called Pinterest, P-Interest or something, Pinterest. It's one of the fastest growing social medias out there, and we're trying to attack that. Please don't ask me any questions about that. I don't have a clue. It's passed me by a long time ago. We do have a new website. The address is visitcuriebeachnc.com. It's tied into the overall county website in terms of the CBB. Our hotels, motels actually have a page that they can come in and put specials. They can update it every day if they wanted to, put their prices and all that type of stuff. We're also have a mobile, so if you're, you know, if you use your smartphone, if you don't have a mobile site, it's just too much information and you can't get it. But we have it where you can actually pull up, you know, restaurants and everything on the website. So that basically is what we've been doing. We've worked very, very hard. I would like to say that I think the CBB has done a very good job in our marketing committee. I have sat in with Riceville Beach and with Carolina Beach, and those guys argued whether or not the or the. It's kind of ridiculous. I like to think I know a little bit about marketing real estate. I don't know squat about marketing destinations, but these guys do. They are professionals. We listen to them. They ask questions, we ask them questions, and we sort of point them in the right directions. But they can tell you whether people are going to click on a round button or a square button or on the internet. And that's the kind of stuff we need to listen to. And do we hit a home run every time? Do we have a perfect plan? Probably not, but we've got tools in place that we can monitor our progress and what's working and not, and make changes. So that's what the marketing committee's been doing the last 20 months.
I'd like to thank you for the hard work that you guys put in. And I know it's kind of hard to meet here in the middle of the day, but we really do appreciate it.
Well, you're certainly welcome to please come to any of the meetings. I know a lot of you work and can't get there, but we have a good committee.
Any questions?
One thing that I noticed when I was doing the website is that you guys changed it from the Cape Fear to the Wilmington and surrounding beaches or something now?
Well,
so
that was, it wasn't something we did, okay, but the Convention Bureau did, because Cape Fear, it had been around for a long time, but nobody knew what it was. And so I think they, you know, they picked up on Wilmington and the beaches.
Yeah.
We'd like to see more of Curie Beach more prominently displayed, but we didn't get a vote on that. That rule.
Thank you, sir.
I just wanted to say the one meeting I went to with you guys, and I wish we could see right here more of the website, so I hope the rest of you will take advantage of going out there and actually looking at it. I think you did a beautiful job putting it together. I think it's right on target, and I think we've done far, far more than what we really paid for. When you look at what other communities are spending, Myrtle Beach, millions and millions of dollars on their marketing, and their visitors are decreasing as opposed to ours increasing. So I think we really have a lot to be thankful for.
Well, I think that the fact that, you know, we've got basically $100,000 and we are doing so much with that, that if it was just Curie Beach and we had to do our own thing, when you look at an ad in Southern Living, I mean, it's going to cost you $30,000 or $40,000. So I think we get a good bang for the buck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is here tonight? No? All right. Discussion and consideration of persons to address council. John, did you?
Yes. Coming before you tonight, representing the Gunmore Mud Bay Club. I was elected as president this year, so I felt like it was important to get up here and speak to you real quick about this. May 11th, we've got the Cape Fear Disabled Tournament going to be held down there at the Curie Beach Pier. It's something we do every year. It's usually about 300 to 350 special needs participants in this tournament. It's a pretty awesome event. The main thing I want to bring up is that every year we close down the westbound lane of K Avenue pursuant to our new town ordinance that has to be approved by town council. And so I'm requesting that permission on behalf of the Gunmore Club. And the second thing that I have really quick is this year, Alan Bada has graciously built us another playhouse to write law for the K-7 tournament. The money that we received from that raffle funds this tournament that does so well. And so it's a pretty big gesture, and it brings in quite a bit of money. This year, Alan came to me and said, look, Bud and Joe's would like to put on a big ticket for us to sell more raffle tickets. And so he has spearheaded that operation and has obtained permission from Mike Robertson to use the lot right beside Bud and Joe's to have a big ticket. I wanted to bring this before you, not only because it is for the government, but because they want to sell beer on the outside on private property on that day when the pig pick is going on. And so I'd like to have your blessing on that also.
Are you going to get the same criteria you do for other people?
Yes, sir. This is a it's a public event held on private property. It's April 28th. That's the scheduled date for that. Basically, what Bud Joe's is looking at doing is fencing off part of that big lot there, having the big ticket set up, you have a couple of tents, tables, and in order to eat, you have to buy a ticket to for the raffle of the playhouse. And then they're going to have a bartender set up out there to serve old beverages.
And they're going to get all the permits?
Yes, sir, they will.
Is the police chief in favor of this?
He's okay with the police chief. He is okay with it as long as I'm there.
Okay. That's fine. I'm just checking.
Yes, sir. I have spoken with the police chief.
And you're not closing the road on April 28th, just making
sure? No, sir. Okay.
All in favor of closing the road?
Can we do them separately? Can we do them separately? I don't ask about the May 11th. Can we just do the April 28th one first?
Right.
And make a motion.
April 28th, I believe we're talking about starting the feed about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. This all came about in the last couple of days, and like I said, I just wanted to let you know about it.
What's that really going to be done by?
The pig picking? We should be done by 8 o'clock. That food will sell out quick.
When's Bud Joe's going to stop selling beer on the lot?
That has yet to be determined.
Oh, okay, so.
Help us out. The Alamo Club is endorsing this event.
Yep,
but obviously, we do not want to see this turn into a drunk fest.
Right, exactly.
And so, any kind of weight that I can lay on that, I would be.
All right.
Well, now we're going to have a time before we fruit, so you get to figure it out right now if you want. But
have y'all spoken about that now?
So is 8 p.m. on now, Al? I want to help you, but we're not going to make it open-ended on a Saturday night to drink on the lot downtown.
I agree. Wouldn't mind going to 9 o'clock with the anticipation.
I'm okay. You should be tell us the time, and then we'll figure it out.
Let's go with 9 o'clock. I anticipate we'll be done well before then.
What time do you want to start?
Feed start around 4 o'clock.
4 to 9.
All right. Make a motion that we approve for April 28th for a fundraiser pig picking, including beer sales, as authorized by the New Hanover County ABC Board from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m.
That'd be beer, liquor, and wine.
Have they talked about
I think it's just beer.
I think it's just beer outside.
Beer outside. Okay. Right. I think the liquor would be hard for us to get through the ABC.
All right.
That's my motion.
Have a motion. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Now,
yes, so the second.
You want to close the road?
The second one, strict to our travel ordinance, council needs to vote to approve closure for the event.
And it's just the westbound on that one block?
It'll be the westbound on that one block. It should be from about 4 o'clock in the morning until we usually done about 1 to 2 o'clock.
And you're going to make sure that the park doesn't block northbound on Atlantic Avenue because there'll be construction, right?
That will be difficult. We have yet to figure out what we're going to do about that.
Well, you can't block the road unless you got a way to get out of there, right?
You can't get out.
You
help us out, right? I want to help you again.
This is all things that we're going to be talking about tomorrow.
You can have a run down the wrong way on Atlantic.
We're having a pre-construction meeting tomorrow for the front park. We'll be discussed tomorrow. Obviously, if they're going to have that road shut down on the 11th, then we're going to have to figure something else out. Yes.
Okay. So I'll make a motion, assuming they have a road out of downtown. They have permission to close the road on May 11th to support the Cape Fear Disabled Tournament.
Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Good job. Appreciate your participation.
Discussion and consideration of committee business. Mr. Bass?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
And you were put in an application for an alternative member of the
Board of
Adjustment?
Yes, sir.
And what makes you think that you're an outstanding, and upstanding?
I don't want to say I'm outstanding. I'm pretty upstanding. I just wanted to do more for my community. I'm already a volunteer fireman for the fire department. I think I've been doing that for 8, maybe 9 years. I'm not really sure how long that's been. And we live here, father of 4. And I'm a business, Bass Build Custom Homes, so I'm pretty involved in the community, and I'm pretty aware of all the building codes and ordinances, and even the new ones that just came out last month, and I'm constantly doing continuing education on state and all that kind of building codes and whatnot, so I just feel like I'd be a good fit for it, and I'm looking to do more for my community.
And how long have you lived here?
I moved to Curry Beach, or Pleasure Island, in 95. I've been in and out of Curry Beach since 97, and then we bought our lot and built our home in 2000. But I've been working in Curry Dunes, Curry Estates, Curry Village since 97, and framed most of the homes over there for Governor. Been here working on the island forever.
Do you have a privilege license?
I do have a privilege license, one of many. I have one in Carolina Beach, too.
Steve, you have any men?
No questions.
Chuck?
So tell me your philosophy on exceptions to the building code, right? So Board of Adjustment rules on that, so tell me what your belief is in Carolina Beach.
Well, let's see. A little bit more specific. I mean, there's all kinds of different cases where, I mean, it could be somebody built their house 1 inch over the line. If they built it 1 inch over the line and the whole structure is built and, you know, they got $450,000 in it, I think maybe if, depending on the situation, that, you know, maybe that's something. And now if somebody built a shed and it's a $3,000 structure and it's all in a setback or whatnot, then that's probably not such a good exception.
Okay.
But, you know, good building practices need to be practiced in all aspects. And I would think that anybody building would double check, triple check, quadruple check, seeing as how we're so tight around.
Well, so you've been building down here since 97. How many do you think Kirby has just in your imagination?
In adjustments?
Yep.
Probably a lot. And I don't know that a lot of those are probably new. I'm sure, you know, maybe some of those are grandfathered in just because we've changed the rules so much in the population.
Some have approved exceptions. Good point. Right? Very good point, right? So not grandfathered, but actually exceptions that went through the process and were approved.
I'd probably say 2 or 3 a year. I don't know.
Okay.
I wouldn't know. This is my first attempt at working with you guys and working with the town outside of the fire department. How many is it?
Yeah. I only have one variance and one turn down as far as my appeal to my decision since I've been here.
See, you got a bunch of good builders on the island.
Yeah. I'm not saying that, but the history of the town is there's not very many.
Okay.
And that's why I asked the question, because the Board of Adjustments, the town has held the line on our building code.
Okay.
And As a commissioner, that's what I'm looking for. People looking for.
Well, when you asked me the question, I was thinking, how many times do people come to the Board of Adjustment? And whether they rule right or left or whatever, I didn't. You know, I thought maybe you probably have at least one or two a year.
Okay. No, that's fair. Okay.
I have a question.
Would like to vote. Make a motion to approve. I'll second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Bradley.
Who do I talk to about the turkey?
No, you need to attend the training. That's right. Okay. You got to go to training first.
Is that what Mr. Bassett here? Do we go train on your boat?
We now have the WMPO, Bicycle Pedestrian Committee, and we interview Al Sharp.
Good evening. I'm Al Sharp. I've owned the property here since about 12 years. Roughly two years ago, I moved here full time. I'm semi-retired. I applied because I'm looking to serve. I'm involved with biking. I walk and I have to. I think there's an opportunity to link your beach to the for our community. And when we have guests down here, we've pedaled down to the ferry going over Southport. I'm reluctant to use Dow Road, but I'll ride the other Dow streets. Before I retired, I was the executive director of the Council of Governments in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's the equivalent of your organization here. I was the Chris May of the Charlotte Metropolitan Area. Before that, I was a county manager in two counties in North Carolina and an assistant county manager outside of Washington, D.C. I have an MPA. I have been active in planning issues for 25 years. I'm active still in the International City County Management Association. I understand public policy, and I would be delighted to work with the five of you on representing Great Beach to the MPO. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
We assume that we're going to get a bike path on those sides of Dow Road. And does that suit or does that fit in with your use of bike?
I don't know what you mean by assume, but it certainly would help all of us who bike find a safer way. It's narrow. Most people are considered. It only takes one crazy to bump you off the pavement. So I understand there's some issues with funding. You know, DOT needs to be finessed in terms of.
Finessing them.
Good. Well, I'll be happy to help or carry water.
So you said you were a county official. What do you understand? Not county official, but in government. What do you understand your job as the representative of Great Beach to be on a board?
I understand mine would be the liaison between the policy board, you all, and the NPO, to be a communicator on the town needs to the broader issue, and then to bring back information and perhaps grant opportunities to the town so that we can enhance our opportunities here.
So do you understand what created this opening?
No. I responded to the ad on the news.
Fair enough. Right.
What did create the opening?
Well, so in my opinion, I won't speak for the board, but in my opinion, the previous representative to this board didn't follow the board's desires on how to represent the town. So he had a different idea than the board did, and he didn't follow what the board directed. And so my real question is, you understand your position is to communicate
to
the council's desires, not your personal desires.
Certainly. Okay. Let me also say that I think there's also a role to advocate.
Well, I agree. Both to us.
To the town council and on your behalf to the NPO.
Correct. But to advocate the positions of the council.
Absolutely. I understand public policy. Okay. And it's an advisory role. Okay. And it's effectively a liaison for the five of you to reach out on the Metropolitan Planning Board.
To expand a little on what David was saying, in the year and a half that I've been on the council, the former representative never appeared before the town council to let us know what was going on in the meetings, what was being presented by him to the MPO, and I personally would appreciate it if at least every quarter you would come back and let us know what's happening. And just like Brad does all the time on marketing, so we don't have to read about it in the newspaper.
Good. I think that's what. And also, there's a getting on board with you all in terms of what your expectations are. And I don't know how to do that, but I'm quite willing to have coffee with the mayor on Saturday morning or meet with the five of you at any one time. But I'm a fairly good advocate for public policy positions, and I understand your role. And I don't know any of the controversy.
No, it's not that controversial for me. I'll add on to what Emily said. I would appreciate it's a requirement that you come back to the board and tell us what you're doing. If not, then at least from this end, there'll be a motion to remove you and get someone else.
It makes good sense to obviously open a dialogue between you all and your representatives.
Exactly right. So when the citizens tell us this is how we want a bike path to go, the expectation, at least my expectation, is before we vote on this, is that is what goes up to those meetings. Not if you have a different view of where the bike path goes, around someone, behind someone's house, as an example. Your advocacy is for what the citizens direct the council to do, right? And I appreciate you understand that. I just want to make sure we're all clear from the beginning.
And I think there is who's meeting it on board with you all. I'll do some homework.
I would make one suggestion. This week, the advisory committee for the Greenway is having workshops all over the county, and there's one tomorrow from 4 to 7 at Carolina Beach Town Hall. And I make a recommendation to anybody who would like to go. I don't know that the advertising has really explained what this workshop is. This is not a public hearing on the plan. This is to get input right now for what you want in the plan. And the final plan or even draft won't come out until later this winter. And frankly, some of the things that are being recommended are based on previous designs that the town really disagreed with. And now all of a sudden, it's not a bike path, it's a greenway. So, and I'm on the Greenway Advisory Committee, so we may need to work together to figure out what's the definition of a bike path versus a greenway. And it might be one and the same in some cases, but I'd suggest you come tomorrow night. You can see what...
I'll be happy once I know what the schedule are to plan it, but right now I can't tomorrow night. I'm flying out of town.
Okay. I'll be glad to have
you.
Andy, you had a question.
I asked a question. The previous committee had a proposal to run the bike path down Sutter's Lane. Are you familiar with that proposal?
No.
If you are, what is your opinion of that?
I don't want to step into the old controversy.
Exactly.
Okay? I'm happy to do homework. I'm happy to study. But I'm not able.
Okay.
Good move.
Exactly right. Okay. We have a motion to approve. Mrs. Sharp.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say by saying aye.
Aye. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being willing to serve.
Down the front end.
Discussion. Number three, Mr.
The Community Center Committee is asking the council to approve the new fee structure for events at the Community Center. I'm sure you all have in front of you. Any questions? We've got about five of them here that answer the questions.
The $100 an hour minimum 2 hour. Yeah. Does this affect the art class or the what is the community?
No.
Okay. Good.
So who does it affect? So I understand for that my question.
Actual renters of the community center, like weddings and receptions and any of that type of thing.
Is your security deposit need to be $250?
Well, we don't really, you know, we think that's not bad. That's about the going rate with all the other communities or community centers, and we're thinking should something happen, then that would be, you know, I mean, they do get that back if there's no damage and everything's done that's supposed to be done, so.
Have we ever had to keep a security deposit?
Yes. Yes.
We have? Okay.
Rare.
Rare, but yeah.
Rare.
And so how do you differentiate between renters on which one to rent? So I see nonprofit in here, which you're also advocating raising. How do you determine, so like the art class, for an example, are they considered a nonprofit? Or are they?
That's Parks and Rec.
That's Parks and
Rec. Oh, so if they're going through Parks and Rec,
that's their deposit.
That is their fees.
And they don't pay you anything?
No.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I understand. Okay. And for the nonprofits, I mean, I'm being a curious fireman, I'm kind of partial to nonprofits. Is there a reason why you're proposing to raise them all just because to be in line, or is there something else going on, just so we understand?
Nonprofits. We have a 2-hour minimum. That is way below, you know, anyone else. You can't rent a room as nice, even as the community center, for $80. I mean, we are so low. We've been told that by other jurisdictions too. When we did all this research that we've done in the past.
But is it so low you're losing business because you're packed? Because I don't think we're packed, right?
No. We have about 5 HOAs. I think last year they granted it.
Right.
And we feel that, of course, there are, I mean, some of them have community rooms. Mm-hmm. We have, I mean, when you have a complete HOA association and everything like that. But again, they're trying to stay in line with it.
Could you step to the podium? Do we have one person?
Yeah. One representative.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes,
sir. Donna Bowe. Right. So for nonprofits, it's mostly HOAs? Nobody else is using it? I know AA used it for a while, I think, a long time ago, or somebody,
we've
not AA,
but
somebody
year.
Like that. I don't know who it was.
There's five about, so. Okay. And again, that's not the majority of the renters. Mm-hmm. And so, and still it's low.
Right.
The fee is very low for renting a facility of that size.
Have most of the HOAs got a 501c3?
That I don't know. That's up to the individual. Last year, I think there was one that was filed, but we kind of just started. We didn't require it, so before. Every other jurisdiction requires it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we are very much in line with all of our research.
So kind of your belief is this will increase the revenues, not decrease it, because some people will not come in?
No, I don't
think
it should decrease it at all.
So if a church, say, wants to have a Halloween party for the children in the congregation for 2 or 3 hours,
they're a nonprofit, and
they pay $80, $120 to pay.
Well, 2 hours.
If they're 3 hours, $120. My point out, must provide a 501c3 form. Churches are not a 501c3, they're a 504, I believe. Some
as long as they can prove they're a nonprofit.
Is that correct?
That's what you might word that.
Yeah, right.
Put in here.
Thank you. Yes, Gabby.
I don't want to throw a black ball at it, but I think we need to define the nonprofit classes that Parks and Rec sponsors. The teachers get paid, to charge a fee, and also the town withholds 10% of that fee. So is that still a nonprofit?
Yeah. They're not going to use the Parks and Recreation Committee for these fees.
Right. Okay.
They're not going to use them for these fees.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
I make a motion that we accept the fees presented to us by the Community Center.
Do I have a second?
we have an effective date on that? Is that immediate? Is that an immediate effective date?
We don't have a say.
I second it. All right, and with the stipulation that the 501(c) or 504 be appropriated, whichever one.
Right.
All right, thank you. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
And just like Nancy said, is there an effective date for this?
Can we wait until the new budget date? Yeah. Or it doesn't really matter.
You want an effective date?
Well, we can do that at the time and when we update our fee schedule.
Unless you specify,
it is immediate.
For all new.
So now,
new.
New.
Do you want to redo the motion?
That's right. How about
you don't want to? Never mind. I guess you don't want to.
We do it. Let you.
He said we don't have to. The lawyer said we're good. He said it makes it immediate.
We're good.
So we put a day.
Okay.
Are there any booked right now that you
we have to go back and change? Or
no,
no,
it's not retroactive.
No, it's not retroactive.
Good. Thank you. Now I would like to introduce the liaison to the Office and Rec. And Thomas, I'm not going to try to pronounce your last name. So.
Farlock.
Well, that's not
Let's get over here. Actually, good evening, honorable members of the Turtle Beach Town Council. I'm Craig Blazinski, the Parks and Rec Committee. Some time ago, the Parks and Rec Committee came forward and requested the council support for an intern from UNCW. We were able to work with the support of Dean, of course, and with the support of the county, Tara Duckworth, and we did identify candidates. We interviewed candidates, and I am happy to say that we came up with a, in our view, an outstanding young man to work with us on preparing a program for the new beachfront park when it will become available. So I wanted to introduce to all of you Thomas Barletta, and he will become officially on board on May 14th. 15th. Thomas?
15th. Again, thank you for having me. Is there any questions that you'd like me to answer at this time?
Thomas, if you could give us a little of your background.
Sure. I have extensive experience in the hospitality industry, which I did in Miami, Florida, where I went to my undergraduate degree from, I moved there in 92 and lived there until 2009, at which time I moved to North Carolina to be closer to the family, and I decided it was time for a change of pace, so I went back to school and got another degree in recreation. And the last 2 years have been wonderful, and I'm looking forward now to imparting a lot of these ideas that I learned to serve the, you know, the citizens of Turtle Beach better. It's exciting times for me.
And you're already on the Paula's list since she's
sat on the list. Yeah, okay. The good side?
The good side.
Okay. Yeah. All right. No, but yeah, it's, I'm really looking forward to the summer, and if anybody has any ideas or anything like that, I'm 100% approachable. So. Excellent.
Thank you. Discussion and consideration of department head business, administration, finance.
Nothing.
Building department, fire department, police, public works. Okay. Discussion and consideration of all the business, alternative energy. We have a draft amendment to chapter 19 zoning code ordinances, and we have article 4 supplemental district regulations. And add section 341 on solar energy. Any discussion?
Yes, sir. Well, I think we should send it back to P&Z to incorporate the grandfather clause in it. It was discussed, as well as the chair of P&Z wanted to define ground mounted systems. So, kind of, I propose that we send it back, and we're glad to turn that into a motion after discussion.
There was some language that needed to be corrected, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Right. I think so as well. Okay, so I'll make a motion that we return the draft amendment back to P&Z to incorporate a grandfather clause, as well as to expand the definition of ground mount systems to only be on primary or residential systems, as discussed by the head of P&Z during our public hearing at the beginning of the meeting.
If I could request a little more guidance on the prohibition of any system over 110%, whether you wanted to increase that to 150% or keep it at 110%. I think that was the other thing that I mentioned. That looking for
I would guidance. Prefer to increase it as fast as technology changes, otherwise we'll be increasing it. I think as an electrical engineer, I think 150% is still, with as fast as technology changes, could easily be something that happens. Especially when you couple that to the fact that housing energy usage should be going down. So I think you'll see a increase in the ability to produce and a decrease in usage with new technologies, and both of those make that pretty tight, 110%. So I would recommend 150% to the council. I'll amend my motion to add changing to 150% the amount allowed.
Well, Craig, you mentioned that we might be concerned about solar farms. Is there something?
Well, I think that's what we were talking about, because if we prohibit anything over 150% as a definition, so we'd add to prohibit anything over 150%, that would eliminate solar farms.
Okay.
Unless there's some future date someone were to come in and apply for one, then we could deal with it at that particular time.
Okay.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thanks. Paid parking. Thank you, short days.
Sure, sir. Based on the input from the public hearing that we had at 5:30, I make a motion that we not move forward in any way with paid parking this time.
I'm sorry.
3 seconds.
3 seconds. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Well, that is off the table for a while. Parking bumpers on Avenue E. Tommy?
I'd like to read our mission statement to the commissioners. For SLAP shoreline access and parking, the mission purpose of the committee is to identify the shoreline access needs to the town of Curie Beach to include the repairs of existing Curie Beach access sites to the state of North Carolina beach access standard, and identification of existing access, recommendations on how to meet further shoreline access needs. The committee will also assess the need for on-street, off-street parking facilities at shoreline access sites, as well as access the need of remote facilities within the town. The committee will advise the town council of these needs. That's our mission statement. In our land use plan, public access policy, number 8, availability parking. It is the policy of Curie Beach to provide adequate parking for residents and visitors. That's tourists. Curie Beach policy is to provide parking in locations convenient to public access sites. Visitors parking opportunities for visitors of Curie Beach, they may include offset or off-island locations. And C is the town of Curie Beach to provide required the previous material for construction of residential driveways and public access parking areas. That's item 2. On a map that the town of Curie Beach had done in 2000, it shows the 6 parking spaces that they were going to install in 2000. That's the other item. When we have our committee meeting, we had like 8 people from the immediate area of EMU They do not want parking there in the sense they don't want the bumpers there. And as the chair and the five of us all signed our mission statement saying that that's what we want as SLAP committee. We would want to put additional parking there in the sense that we're only putting bumpers there. People use that spot. When the lot gets filled up, people park there. They also park in the middle of the median parallel to the little plants that they have. I seen it at the time, I didn't take pictures. We had a big discussion with the people that came. And that's how SLAP we'd like to have. Now, it's up to the five of you to say if you're gonna install five or six parking bumpers there or not. But people do park there when the lot gets filled up. They were complaining about people urinating, about garbage, about everything. They said if you put a bumper there, it will make people park there. Our contention is that people park there, I said all the time, and I got my head handed to me. They weren't very friendly, to say the least. When the lot is filled, that's the first position that they park in. I only wanted to put the bumper so it would have some kind of order for someone to pull in on an angle. Like I said, people park there, whether I'm going to have the bumpers there or not, but I want to have some kind of order so people will know that there is a spot and they don't take up two spots. Our location for parking in Curie Beach is very valuable. We're trying not to waste it with somebody coming in and taking up all those spots for other tourists that could use it. So that's where we're at now.
You have other bumpers there now, right?
Excuse me? No, there's no bumpers.
Not at all.
No, we originally when we were going to, originally they, when we had the MPO study, and the MPO study recommended that we extended E and I Avenue with parking bumpers. This is the MPO study that we had in 2009. They suggested that. And our SLAP committee, we're supposed to be looking through the town and improving parking throughout the town and shoreline access for where tourists could park. It rubbed them the wrong way when I said tourists. It's a very difficult position to be in.
On I, you have bumpers, and they go up to halfway.
Yes.
There's still room for more.
Yes, there's room for more on E and I.
But on E, if you go six, what's left? Is that just parkway?
It's people's driveways. E Avenue's not as wide as I have known.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
E Avenue, in the beginning, they have a medium in the center.
A small medium
in the center where they have little plants, and then it goes out to like I with a bigger area where there's trees and there's grass.
So you're talking up away from the Port Fish before you start.
Yeah. Now he's talking no. Right on the right that corner. The first lot.
I'm sorry, I thought you had this.
No.
It would be this is a copy of one these right here. Here, right, this is Fort Fisher. Here's an E, and it would be one, two, three, four, five, six, and the access for this person would be here. That's right, that's right. It's right here. Oh no, it's not in the middle. That's out of the grass. It's not in front of their house. Only because we're in the house there right now. There's a big hedge line, and it's our property, the town of Curie Beach.
Okay. Did anybody at the meeting speak in favor?
No.
What's left?
Yeah, so if I could just add to the council, so I live on the avenue, so all these citizens I've talked to, some of them not aptly, but all these citizens. I was on council in 2000 when it was proposed the first time, and we didn't do it the first time. Because all the citizens came to the council. And Tony's exactly right, people do park there now. They only park there infrequently in the summertime when the lot is filled. So he's exactly right on the facts. As I did in 2000, as I recommend to council now, there's no advantage to the town to put six bumpers there, in my opinion. People know to park there and do. The citizens that is around their homes are asking the town not to do anything different. They're not asking us to stop people from parking there, by the way. And in fact, they've never called the police, to my knowledge, to move people off there, right? So they do allow the property be used as parking. Our visitors do park in it. All they're asking is not to encourage people to park there. And if you look through the notes, they're not all the notes, I think, were pretty professional. I'm sorry if they didn't at your meeting. I wasn't at the meeting, so I apologize if they weren't being professional. But, well, they shouldn't be. So,
that's right.
So, you know, and as I talk to them, I'll be glad to know more about that, because I'll tell my neighbors they shouldn't be.
They came to his meeting at the wrong time or whatever.
Yeah. But we accepted them because they came in to address the committee.
Well, and that's good.
You know, I didn't want to say no, you were late.
So I mean, you know, I would make a motion that we do not put bumpers there.
I second.
Okay. Well, then I won't say
anything. All in favor, sing by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Carla.
Okay, the Cure Beach Community Center proposed to allow beer wine usage at the facility.
I have to thank Nancy and Andy for going over this and coming up with their concerns, outlining their concerns and problems and suggestions. Super job. Did you have a chance to look at these changes?
Did.
And is there any changes there you disagree with?
The liability making it mandatory. It will provide a hardship on people in addition to the other expenses. No other jurisdiction that we researched, for instance, Southport has no liability mandates. The only other one, New Hanover County only has caterers that should have it, and that's usually a given. We have that in here. The other, Morehead City, basically, they suggested, like we put it in ours, but say it's not mandatory, you'll have to sign a waiver. The question came up, if we make it mandatory, what about town events and town dances and the same? Their activities too, unless the town has their liability insurance, covers that. And also, I guess for myself, I question why didn't these other jurisdictions make it mandatory? There had to be a reason. Morehead City's been having these events for 25 years. You know, Southport has a record too, certainly in Hanover County, and then Airway Gardens, the executive center and everything like that. And I think there is a minor issue of perhaps especially saying just for alcoholic events. Kind of a discrimination. I personally know that non-alcoholic events can get just as out of hand as alcoholic. And we're talking about just beer and wine and champagne. Really, most of the part, I'm fortified. They require an ABC, of course, license. But the liability has not been a big issue with any jurisdiction because, as in ours, it is covered completely that the town, its employees, anyone will not be responsible. I mean, it's been covered in every way we can think of in other jurisdictions. So I would say it will be a hardship on people in addition to their paying for the facilities, probably for caterer, all events, that we're just eliminating the people, some of them that we want to serve. And so I don't think it's a big issue. And the other thing we have to remember, we're asking for a trial. If at any point we feel we need to, we can go back. Certainly, we're new at this. There might be things we have to fine-tune, and whether it's what the community center members may perceive or see, or the council members get feedback. So that's the only issue. The other, you know, the issue about the statement about anyone but inebriated being, that was in the old policy. I don't know when that was approved by council, but I agree myself that that is vague, certainly hard to enforce. If you're going to have someone there watching everyone with a breathalyzer coming in and out, it's not, I don't think, a problem. No other jurisdiction has it, so it should be deleted. And the paid security, that never was our issue. I think we put that in the memo. That was in there to see if the town, the police department had, well, opinion on it. We could leave that out completely. We would have to know how to answer questions. It's never come up so far that any leasee has asked us, well, we would like to have security, you know, does your police department do that? We've never had that, and so there may be some that would prefer it. I don't know how you feel. I don't personally want to tell them, and we take the reservation books and have to speak to all of these leases, that they should get private, you know, coming into the town. I don't know. I'm not comfortable with that. So if the council, I understand the remarks was that that would be up to council if you wanted to approve for the police, you know, to do off duty.
So Andy,
I'm sure other jurisdictions do. Okay. I haven't checked, but
how many liability insurance do we carry?
How much do we carry?
Yes,
a million.
What about this recommendation for mandatory? What about your recommendation for mandatory?
Recommendation?
I thought you said carry $1 million worth of insurance.
Making it mandatory. You had been in there, what, for especially alcoholic events? It didn't. From what I understand from Morehouse City, they're the only ones that gave any figures. They offer it. They're a big civic center. They get it through BB&T. And it's for a small wedding event, probably one small room, not even the size of our whole community center, is $150. I don't know what it would be for ours, but that's a ballpark. I think that's asking in addition to everything else. The security deposit, 9 times out of 10, most of the time, they're going to get back. And we do have that in case there is damage.
But the reason you have $1 million of liability is for not just a little bit of damage, right? So, I mean, the concern with alcohol is, what is the risk to the town? I mean, liability insurance is not just for them breaking a window. So, what things are you worried about when you're
underage drinking, getting drunk, driving off, killing somebody?
Exactly correct. So, I mean,
what's about to haunt you?
Yeah, with the waiver, if they don't have insurance, are you worried that it comes back on the town? Is that the issue?
Yeah.
I mean, that can go up pretty fast, and, you know, maybe these other towns aren't as risk averse as at least I am, but I'm kind of with Andy that I agree with you, it's a trial period moving in, but you want to protect yourself as much as possible. The town doesn't need a $1 million lawsuit against it because someone let their 17-year-old, you know, buddy drink and drive out on down the road and kill someone, and then they didn't have insurance, so the person sued and says, well, then I'm going to sue Curie Beach too. Even if we are found unliable, we are responsible for thousands of dollars of lawsuit insurance, because you don't get that back. Right?
That's right.
You know, that isn't, I mean, fine with us. If you want to do that, I just am presenting what could happen, how it's going to affect even town events and the people we're trying to serve. It is a concern.
Oh, no, I understand. And, I mean, even town events, I don't know that because of the council, and with the council, I talked about this, but just because the council's approving this doesn't mean the town's going to sponsor drinking events, in my opinion.
Well,
that's a separate issue.
We have dances, and
I understand, but
and they, you know, would like to have, obviously.
I understand. I drink myself probably more than I should, but that's different from the town sponsoring an alcoholic event, right?
Well, no, I don't know. That's still an alcoholic event. Whether the town sponsors.
Is the community center committee of the opinion that if we approve this, you'll be able to have your events with alcohol without coming back to council and asking that? That if they had a dance, that they could have alcohol at it without coming back to council and requesting that? Because that's a different issue than what I think I'm approving. I want to understand what I'm approving.
That it would be, you know, wedding events as well as our town events would be able to have wine. And
the council asked when you asked us to get back to you, whether it would cover just Granville or town events, and we said both. So.
Well, no, I understand the policy covers that, but I'm asking, does the committee think that means council's approved you doing that? Just because we put in the policy.
No, we're asking for that.
And I don't know where council's wills on this. I'm asking the question so I understand. Mm-hmm. Maybe council's okay with that. I hadn't thought about it.
Now, what are you saying? Approving that it be mandatory?
No.
I was talking about a separate issue now. The issue I'm talking about now is if we approve this policy, is the committee thinking that means town-sponsored alcoholic events are now approved by council? I'm not saying it is, the council may. I think you have to come back each time.
That would be, up to the council to tell us that if it's a town event, we have to ask each time.
Right.
But we would have an alcohol use permit for our dance.
Right, but before you spend money on it, I think, at least for me, you need to come back and explain to the council. Because I don't know that I agree that the town should be sponsoring alcohol events. That's why I'm asking.
We don't currently have liability insurance because we don't allow alcohol in our public buildings, so that we need to be very clear about what this issue is. If it's a private rental, that's one thing, and that rental person has to provide their insurance, and we're saying liability and their ABC permit. Now, if you're going to make it, the committee can have a dance with wine and alcohol, then we have to go get liability insurance because we're not covered.
That's right.
And
right.
The other thing on here is also, if you approve this, you're going to have to amend two of our ordinances.
Yeah.
Now, we've got
to change
alcohol.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the issue, especially
now
that the
amendment
is that would be up to the council whether they want to approve. Right now, we have dances.
Yes, I understand.
I'm sure if it was voiced by already committee members, they hope that they could have wine and beer at their dances.
But the town's going to get the liability. Since now, who do they come to? Who does the permit? And when would a police officer? When would a police officer be needed?
Only if requested. If someone had an event that they said we really would like security, can we hire our own or bring? That would be the question. At that point, whoever has taken the reservation would have to come up with an answer for that.
But do y'all rent to weddings that are large enough that you would think that it would be prudent to hire a police officer?
I'm thinking for myself, and in the past would not even have that. Here again, as I said, non-alcoholic events can get pretty rowdy too, or people would want. That's not come up. I expect it might. It's just that our volunteers, and we're all volunteers, by the way, that have to kind of make sure the DC understands all of these rules and everything, that we have an answer for them if that question comes up.
think you need to send them to the police department.
Well, I was thinking, yes, most of the
officers would be hired out. That's up to Dennis.
That's right. Oh, are you?
Or he could make recommendations about where they could.
I thought that was the question, that it was up to council whether they.
I would rather be up to Dennis. I don't want to tell him.
In other, I think, jurisdictions it is, so. Yeah. So are we saying then that the answer, if we're asked, would be just to give the police department?
Have the discretion of the police chief.
Yes, call and get information from them about that. That's good.
But I would not require that. I mean, does the council want to require that?
Yes.
Okay.
Or is anyone required?
I think you need to speak to Dennis about that.
Yeah.
He has some definite opinions.
Not that they require it in every function, but it's
you mean if they want it through our Pure Beach Police Department as well?
Nancy, how much? Okay. Yeah. Nancy, how much money are we talking about getting liability insurance?
If it's for each event, maybe 150, 200. If we're looking at year round, that would be a lot to figure out how to do that. Our concern is the language. We don't want the town in the middle or making the decision about whether there needs to be security at any of these events or not. Okay. Our police
and that's
department
why
is not
we
want
ask
to,
to have it reviewed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, is it as stated that if we're asked the question, we won't volunteer?
Security is up to the people who are having the
question. Okay. So that we know how to read right this currently.
Father, may I side note on your number for ABC? It's wrong.
Okay.
That's food line wrong. ABC is not 077, 0,
what?
07, 00.
Where is that?
In your packet that you recommend to tell the people on the contract we call to get their ABC permit.
Oh, the number?
So if there gets approved, we should change that.
We'll check it.
Okay, we'll check that. So what is the next step you're looking for?
Just to do a final, correct, make all these corrections, and then be able to start. That's why we want a starting point that we'll get all this with the rental fees and the new policy and procedure, and then have it all together so that we can.
How long will it take us to get an ordinance change?
Next meeting.
It's whatever council wants to vote on it.
By how long of hearing? It depends on how long it takes to get the liability insurance.
In fact, I don't know.
We're not getting liability insurance.
You have to speak to an agent about that. Good day.
No, I think we should require the renter to get liability insurance. Yeah. I don't know that I'm in favor of the. If the town's going to have town-sponsored alcohol events, then we need to have a way to get insurance. So we should find out how much it costs. But we should approve that separately. And it should be by event, in my opinion.
What
the purpose of this right
what
now?
What would be the situation where the town would want alcohol? That's what I want to know. Yeah.
Our council.
This Saturday night at the dance.
And then we did approve by city.
You're going to have a town sponsor a dance and serve alcohol.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about. That's why I don't know that I'm there. So I'm kind of like, I agree with you on the revenue side. So I'm certainly in favor of the town offering the community center as a place for people to go to a private event without alcohol. But I think they have to have insurance and they have to have ABC approval. And if there's a security issue, I think they can work with the police chief to figure that out. He can recommend off-duty sheriffs that will be glad to work for him if he doesn't want his personal
opinion. Yeah, I think you were wrong, you know, and it's not necessarily your fault, but without us carrying liability insurance, you know, we just don't need to get into it. So.
And that's, you know, that's fine.
Were you under the assumption or were you told that?
That what?
That the town had liability insurance.
Well, most towns have liability insurance that cover employees. I didn't know what the town's liability covered. That's why I was saying.
We do have it without alcohol.
Right.
That's
and we wouldn't buy it for the whole year. We would buy it like
per event.
three dances every year.
Well, I think that for me that's a separate discussion.
Yeah, it is.
Because I want to help you ladies move forward, because I do think there's a revenue opportunity, right? What I would propose to council, and let's have a discussion, then we can make a motion on it, is that we have them move forward with the changes that the town clerk and attorney have put in. So liability insurance, in my opinion, should be mandatory. We looked through the other comments. There's just some cleaning up stuff. All the security is not at the discretion of the town. It's at the discretion of the leasee, and they can work with the police chief if they need to for some tips. If you look in your exhibits, you'll have to clean up the lease, because it says nonprofit organization 501c3, and we already talked earlier about the 504 record churches. So we're going to have to fix that anyway, right? In Exhibit A, we're going to have to fix the rental fee since we just changed them, right? Which you ladies know that. And then under your alcohol portion, just like highlighted by Nancy or Andy, whoever looked at it, you have this note. Under alcohol, the last statement, no person under the influence of alcoholic beverages or drugs is allowed in the building. If they're serving alcohol, they're under the influence. So that one doesn't really work, right?
Well, I think we were really just thinking if somebody walked in and you, and it was very obvious.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I understand. I mean, yeah. I think...
I think the
leaser is responsible for that, right? So
right, yeah.
if you have an event with insurance and you're serving alcohol, you're taking responsibility for all your guests.
Right.
And that includes when they leave. I don't want it transferred to the town. And so I think, from my standpoint, I would make a motion they take it back and make the corrections.
Yes.
Understanding that liability insurance is required, and understanding there's a separate discussion whether the town is going to sponsor something or not. And it's not because obviously I'm a drinker, but it's just I don't believe in putting the risk of alcohol on the taxpayers of the town. That's what I believe, right? Not that it won't happen in my house, but I'm not going to transfer it to the citizens, right? In our village, right? And so I would love to sit up here and have a beer. We were talking about it earlier. Make the meeting a lot better, but I don't think that's the right thing to go. So my motion is for them to take it back and make those corrections.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying
aye.
Thank you.
And then a second motion is for the attorney to look at the two ordinances and recommend changes to support that. Sorry. For the next meeting.
For the next meeting, okay. If it's going to be a town-sponsored event, like your nonprofits, as you say, which is sponsored by the town.
Why is that sponsored by the town?
No.
There are some agencies or whatever, like your Parks and Rec or whatever, that have something going there. Are they going to be in the alcoholic business, or is that out?
No. Not in my opinion, they're not.
Not them.
There's four other people that can overrule it, but not in my opinion.
Yeah, okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Well, Andy, if the town decided to do that, would we have to have that in their ordinance, or is that just something we can decide to do?
Council would have to decide.
But I mean, it wouldn't have to change their ordinance.
No.
If we had a big festival down Oceanfront Park with ribbon cutting and wanted to make beer available, like we do at our street festival.
Yeah. That's sponsored by
the nonprofit. You know, that's all
exactly right. That's not the town.
That's not the town, the nonprofit. Yeah. Got them online.
Because we're going to have to talk about this when the Oceanfront Park is finished.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if we hire them as a vendor for movies at Oceanfront Park, that's totally different than us sponsoring them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we make them leasees. I'm fine with the leasee, but I can tell you personally, I'm very risk averse with the taxpayers' money, and I would not be in favor of the town sponsoring alcoholic events because there's too much risk.
Well, I'm just trying to wait.
Yeah, okay.
How you define that, because the perception will be that something we have is part of the town is sponsoring it, so we just need to be clear what the definition is.
Now, when we have the dances on Saturday night, we have, what, maybe 5 a year, 6 a year? Now, is that really considered a town event? This is just something the community center is.
Yes, it's a town event. Yes,
yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Now, unless you want to put it on, right? But as the community center, you're the town.
That's right.
Right? And, no. I mean, right. Not to be a killjoy, but because I'd love to get a drink with you ladies at the community center, but I'm just not going to put the risk on the rest of the citizens.
Okay, well, I just wanted to clear that part up.
So the second motion is for the town attorney to review the two ordinances and make a proposal to support alcohol with leases in the community center.
Go ahead.
Do I have a
second? Second by Steve. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Opposed? Thank you. Number five. Four requests from the Kirby Stormwater Environmental Committee.
Right behind the agenda.
Four questions from the Kirby Stormwater Environmental Committee. Staff comments and the committee presented this request at the March Council meeting. Staff is asking for direction from Council. A, free yard debris pickup. This includes most organic materials such as grass, sticks, small stumps, and leaves. But a free pickup could be limited to small items that could be placed in large recycled paper bags sold at Ace Hardware and other retailers. We understand that most of this material is now ground up for mulch and used by public works as landscape material around town. So this organic material now is recycled and serves a purpose. Our main reason for asking for this to be considered is to keep this material out of our landfill. Although it's now prohibited by the New Hanover County, we believe many people place it in plastic bags and put it in our trash cans to avoid cost of plastic pickup.
So, Sonny's not here. I mean, I understand where the committee's going with this. I have a problem. So I have a lot of yard debris. I have a bunch of trees in my backyard. I put stuff out. I pay for the pickup. I don't think that it's right to, because if you do free yard debris pickup, what you're doing is spreading the cost of yard pickup to the my pickup to you guys that don't have all those trees in your backyard, right? And I just don't think that's right. Pickup fee is very reasonable for the town, and I think that spreading it to everyone else is not the right thing to do. Now, I do appreciate they're trying to keep yard waste out of the landfill, but I just don't personally think that it's the right thing to do.
Well, I don't think that they recycle, I mean, the paper bags and stuff, I don't think Sonny uses this right now.
Well, the other thing is with all the changes with the feds on how we store stuff back there, he can't do what he used to do now. That's right, so that's why we're keeping the second truck in use.
Also, I believe Sonny mentioned that, first of all, people were putting things in the bags with the debris that could mess up the machinery, like maybe a big screw or a piece of wood that has nails in it, and that was one reason why he couldn't guarantee what was in it. But he also, and Arlen, you may remember this, at our budget meetings last year, this came up, and asked him what it cost to have that 1 week of free debris pickup, and did he say as much as $7,000? Is that what it cost for him to do that? And anyway,
I don't recall the exact
price at the time was so exorbitant, we decided then to only have one thing, and that I think he had requested.
And I think it's the right thing to do. So, I mean, council, you're asking for guidance. I request the council that we say once a year is sufficient based on the data needs and the others. Or after hurricanes. Exactly.
And then it's different.
Okay.
I'm sorry, should we have a motion?
I'll make a motion. There, or Steve will.
Continue with only one for yard debris pickup for here.
And I'll second it.
All in favor, assume the second.
Aye.
Thank you. More frequent non-recyclable material pickup. Manatee County should schedule more frequent pickups of non-recyclable items at locations more convenient to residents of Pleasure Island. There are many items such as tires, oil, paint, battery, etc. that waste management won't pick up from the curb, but should be disposed of properly as they are hazards to the environment. Pleasure Island residents can take them to the landfill on Route 421 or at the once or twice a year collections usually held in the northern part of the county. Inhabitant County also needs to have a collection closer to Southern County residents, perhaps at Lucky Junction, or even further south. We realize this will be an expense to the county, and at a time of budget shortfall, but as the beach towns provide a large share of county taxes, we deserve better services such as more hazardous waste pickup. I'll be talking to the county chair this coming, actually tomorrow afternoon. And I think this would be a nice item to bring up to his attention. And I think that they have, I thought they had one in Lucky Junction.
That's recycled.
Did I?
Where? UNC what?
No,
or maybe UNCW.
It just happened like
they do.
They do.
Yeah.
They
do.
UNC, yeah. But not
this year. The airport was at UNCW, and then he moved it.
Then moved it to the airport even further away.
Further. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm not sure about tires, but everything else, electronic batteries.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll bring that up, Mr. Davis.
So no formal action.
No formal action. Okay. No, not this time.
Okay.
Recycle bins and ditch accesses. We understand that the bins were in access to the floor and were removed because people put trash in them instead of recycled items. But we feel that the new bins are now well marked and businesses will cooperate in putting the right items in the appropriate bin. I don't think that the public has got a lot smarter.
Sunny has already agreed to put the recycle bins at the crossovers after we finish building them for this summer and try it again. But they have to be marked. And he said he would put the new ones out there, not the old junky ugly ones, but the other ones were never really marked so you understood what they were for. And if we could get Sunny to work with waste management to provide signs on them so that they are well marked, I think that would help. But he's already agreed to try some back there again this year.
What about the? He may have agreed to $240 a card.
No, as soon as they fill up a regular trash can, they're going to start putting it in the recycle.
That's exactly right.
I mean, we see it every day when we walk through.
I think you're going to contaminate them again.
Well, it's not going to work until we try it. I mean, not doing it is not going to.
Take 1 week.
It's not going to make people.
Give you 1 weekend.
Well,
so I have two views of that, right? So I'm sort of agreeing with you and Dean, but I'm with Emily on what we should do. I think, one, the town has a responsibility to try to promote recycling. And two, that second can prevents it from being thrown on the ground. So if they use it the wrong way and we have to dump it, at least it's not on the ground. So E Avenue, when I go down there, the second can Sunday afternoon, thank God it's there, or otherwise it'd be all over the beach. So even they, if they use it wrong, it helps us. So that's sort of where I'm at. I think we should put them in our public beach access. I think it's the right thing for the town to do, even if it, I mean, it's not huge amounts of money. It is a little bit.
Well, I'd like to know where this figure comes from because Sonny's never mentioned that to me in all the times that we've talked.
Nancy,
that's just about a new car.
I handle the recycling contract with Waste Management. It's about Sonny's department. We're paying $6,000 last year for 25 carts that were at other beach accesses. Sonny was the one when we were talking about the new carts and residential, saying that he's actually having to pick up those recycled carts because waste management will not, because they're contaminated. That's where the figure comes from. The $240 annual per cart is what waste management will charge us.
So the carts they gave us free for all the residents, they're not willing to give us a few extra to put it in.
They're not free, you pay your recycling fee.
Well, the town didn't buy them for the residents, right?
No. That's part of our
recycling fee. So why do we have to pay extra for those?
Part of it's the access, particularly if we want them along Atlantic Avenue, getting a truck in there.
Access is
going to
be rolled
out.
$240 is not for the cart, it's for all the work it takes to go and get them.
Yeah, that's the annual cost. So that's each cart costs $240 in recycling.
So you have to have a commercial size?
Yeah.
If you put one of the residential carts out there and with the lids and stuff, that would be
what?
Destroyed in a month.
Sonny said it was fine, and he's the one that has to do it.
Yeah, no, he's not. The recycling. So the recycling company informed the town clerk that to put one out there is $240 a year. That's what their cost is. If we want them, that's at the 25 sites, that's the $6,000 we're talking about.
Okay.
So they're going to charge us as our recycling.
Okay, because this says that's what it costs to replace them. So could we get something in writing from them about what they're going to charge us to pick up those carts?
I have an email I can print out.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, maybe the way she wrote it, but estimated annual cost per cart to replace, that's putting it back out there. So it's not buying the cart, it's that's the service fee they're estimating. We're going to charge.
That's not what it says.
That's what we need to table. Let's
see the
email.
Make a motion that we table this until we be
fine. Well, can I get direction as to where you want these, what kind you want, how many you want, and maybe that will help me.
Somebody was talking about using the same type that the residents use.
On the beach accesses with the wind?
Yeah.
With that little flimsy yellow top?
Yeah.
So let's let the I agree with Nancy. Let's let the recycling companies, the experts, tell us what we want. Let's tell them where we want it. We want it at each of the beach accesses, the public beach accesses.
And we decided,
Now, is that at all the accesses or just the ones on the beach walk?
Public beach accesses.
The public beach accesses are at the end of each street in the old part of town. And down Atlantic Avenue, right, the three cross, or however many there are with the new car design, looked at along Atlantic Avenue.
Yeah,
right.
You clear on that now, Nancy?
Is that enough guidance?
Thanks.
Do you guys agree?
I agree with it.
Also, just budget-wise, what we're charging right now for residential and commercial. We're about breaking even.
Right. And this will be $6,000.
This will put us,
Okay, well,
just for our future.
Okay. Well, fortunately, we're in budget season, so it works out really well. Let Arlen know. Get factored in.
Dog waste stations. One of the requirements of the stormwater permit is that the town identify and control surface waste. A major source of this, other than wildlife, is dog feces. There are already waste stations at Joey's Park. But adding more at town property such as lift stations should not be a major problem. Most of all, not all residents carry bags when walking their dog, but many visitors don't. The lift stations, the general public doesn't have any business being around them.
Yeah. So.
That doesn't make any sense.
So for me. They should tell us how much money they're asking for this one, and then it should be part of the budget process. So I would prefer their committee to figure out how much money they're talking about versus us trying to figure it out. Because when you start providing plastic bags, someone's got to go replace them and all that other stuff. So I would like this one to go back to committee and they put it in as part of the budget process.
I would too.
Good idea. You
want to
make a motion to that?
Make a motion before the committee. They need to put this in as a budget item.
The dog
as a budget
stations.
Request,
right?
So they can spend all the time versus second. Trying to get Sonny to estimate it or something else.
Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Now, today.
Cool. This will be fast. So it is now April. In May, one of our requirements is to reapprove the emergency operations plan. So I request that the town clerk give copies to council by the end of the week. Is that possible, Nancy? And that council give feedback to me in the week before our next council meeting, so I'm collated and presented to council as a request to approve the emergency operations plan.
Actually, council has, if you're not making any changes to it, they all have a copy of the current.
Well, then if you can review the current plan you have, I didn't realize you passed them out. She didn't give me one because she knew I had one, so I didn't realize you guys got them. I'll set my handbook, sorry. I skipped over that section. Please review your handbook and give me any changes in the next 2 weeks so I can implement them in the emergency operations plan for us to pass at the May council meeting. And please put it on the agenda, Madam Clerk. That's the first thing. The second thing is, as we do every year, I'd like council's permission to advertise hurricane information assistance with the public. I've worked with Andy Everhart on the police department, and we'd like to do two sessions this year based off attendance from last year. May 16th, which is a Wednesday at 6 p.m. So that's the day after our council meeting. And then we do the second one on a Saturday so that people that are working can make the second one, which will be May 19th at 10 a.m. It'll be very similar to the ones we've done in the past, so if you've seen them, I'll be glad to share the presentation with council the week before or at that council meeting at y'all's desires. So do I need a motion to advertise, Nancy?
Nancy, does he need a motion?
Yes.
To advertise?
Still kind of.
Yeah.
Okay, make a motion that we can advertise for two hurricane information sessions in May.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else come before this council? I have a letter in front of me from the governor. It says, I am pleased to announce that $50,000 in financial assistance for a project located in your town has been approved by the state. I congratulate the town of Pure Beach on the sponsorship of the Dow Chemical Beach Intake Removal Project. The project will remove rustage, hagerman, that's an abandoned intake structure located on the beach strand that poses a safety risk to beach goers. And I expect to receive another $50,000 from the state on top of this, so our matching money will be null and void. So.
How much do you think it'll cost? We'll take
$100,000. We already have an estimate.
Okay.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Anything else come before us, council? Nope. Okay. We're adjourned.
All in favor. Make a motion.
All in favor. Say aye.
Aye. Thanks for the job.
You didn't look at that sheet once, did you?
Hey, you guys did a great job on the recommendation. I don't know who did that. Nancy or Nancy, that was awesome.
Nancy did most of it.
You guys did look
at that.
That's not really smart. You recommended all the years and seeing people
get all the time.
You're taking it from
the job.
Yeah. 10 years.
Oh, yeah. 10 years.